over these last years. And I just thought, as we prepare to go into this year, that it would be good to have these names engraved upon us, that we would understand what the significance of these names are in Scripture, but what the significance of these names are to us too. And so we're just going to read two stories, Genesis 26, and it's beginning at verse 12. It says, "Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold." Obviously, God blessed him. "And the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy." Now, I don't know the difference between being rich and very wealthy, but it seems that he got richer and richer as he went on. "For he had possessions of flocks and herds and great household, so that the Philistines envied him." Remember the word Philistines, because it seems they're always after, throughout the history, they're always after what God's people have. Sounds like today. "Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with earth. And then Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us.'" He wasn't just blessed, but he was too powerful for them too. "And Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water..." It's interesting because another translation says living water. "They found a well of living water. The herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he named the well Esek, because they contended with him. And then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too. And so he named it Sitna. And he moved away from there and dug another well, but they didn't quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth, for he said, 'At last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land.'" And let's turn to another scripture, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 7. So our first name is Rehoboth. Can you say that with me? Rehoboth. The second scripture is found in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 7. "Now when the Philistines heard that the sons of Israel had gathered to Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines," those guys again, "went up against Israel. And when the sons of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And then the sons of Israel said to Samuel, 'Do not cease to cry to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines.' Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, and the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day against the Philistines and confused them so that they were routed before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" And we'll stop there. As I said, these are two names which have become very important in our life, a great deal for us over the last few years. One is the name of a rock, and the other is the name of a hole in the ground. And it doesn't seem like there's any significance there. But they have, in a sense, been words of promise for us, for what we do in Congo and in Africa. We have established, actually, Ebenezer stones in various parts of the work in Congo, because we wanted to declare that thus far the Lord has helped us. And maybe that's something some of you families need to do, is to put an Ebenezer stone right in your home to declare something, because you'll see what happened. Because what happened is every time the Israelites walked past that stone, they were reminded that the Lord had helped them. One of the things that we are doing, in fact, the new center that we are planning on building in Congo will be called Rehoboth Center. The new ministry that's being set up is Ministère Rehoboth du Congo. Congo, Rehoboth Ministries in Congo. Rehoboth was a well in Gerar. It was dug by Isaac. It was about 20 miles south of Beersheba. And what Rehoboth means is a place of enlargement, a place of fruitfulness, a place of flourishing, a place where what you've experienced before is different. You're not limited when you come to Rehoboth. There's something that a broad place is what it actually meant. And so maybe you're walking in a narrow place and you feel squeezed, but all of a sudden it's like coming out of like a cork out of the bottle. Something opens up. And I believe that this year that's going to happen with us. You know, this past year, we've walked through a narrow place and we felt squeezed on all sides. Some of you have felt that personally. Some of we have felt it as a fellowship, some in families. But I believe God's going to open a Rehoboth. He's going to open a Rehoboth, a place of enlargement, a place of flourishing. Isaac's servants had dug two wells before Rehoboth, and the herdsmen had quarreled with them. But when they dug the third well, there were no quarrels about it. Because Rehoboth means now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. You know, sometimes it's good, and you know I like doing this, to just declare that. Turn to somebody and say, the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. Now, it's interesting that this was the third well that was redug by Isaac, which also has some significance. Because three is a very significant number in Scripture. It's the number of the Trinity, of course. And thus, it indicates a wholeness. When God took them there, he began to release a wholeness to them. The divine attributes of God are threefold. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent. He is love, light, and spirit. He is holy, right, and just. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. God always works in threes. And it wasn't by accident that Isaac's, the servants of Isaac, redug this third well. Because God said, I'm going to put my blessing on it. And there are many other things that God speaks. And I mentioned it as we were reading. When we look at our text, it's important to note verse 19. The flowing water literally means living water. They found a well of living water. And it brings to mind the scripture in John chapter 7 and verse 38. It says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And literally what this scripture means is let him keep coming to me. Let him keep coming to me and let him keep drinking of me. And this image is so powerful. See, how many here would like their heart, would like your life, Jerry expressed it, your life becomes like a deep mountain spring overflowing into rivers of living water. Even before we even understand what the image is that Jesus is speaking of here, well, there's something in us that wants to have it. Jerry was expressing, I got to have that. There's got to be a change in my life. Because it implies this whole wholeness and completeness so much to the point of overflowing. God give us that in our lives. That we are so full and so whole that we are overflowing with life. It implies something of a refreshing. It implies moisture and growth and life. I got everybody bringing me, well, I got about 5 glasses of water here. Thank you, Dan. Good. Living water, yeah. They're probably saying, if he doesn't take it soon, his voice is going to drive me nuts. But see, when Jesus is speaking this out of John chapter 7, he's not trying to just evoke images, to give us some sort of picture of living water. Because he's much more than a picture. He is the living water. It refers to something very real. And this very thing would be true even if we cease to exist. Jesus does not cease to exist. The water does not cease. The water does not diminish. And the words are not meant to make us just feel good. Oh, I would love to have that. They are meant to put us in touch with something solid and powerful that lives outside of ourselves. Jesus is offering something that is very desirable, and he's offering it to us. Jesus isn't just an image. He is real today, just as they was then, and he's personal to you. This, if we come to a new revelation this year, that you would realize that Jesus is just as real to you as the person sitting next to you right now. Just turn and look at them. You know, they're real. And Jesus wants to be that real. And you can say, well, God, just refresh me. God, just pour this water into me. God, just let it overflow out of me. But that can only be an experience. And it won't have any value whatsoever if it hasn't have everything to do with the real and living Jesus. We can't just talk about experience of living water. We can't just talk about the experience of drinking fresh water and woo. We have to live it. We have to be it. And it's about a person in us. It will all be in vain. Everything we do will be in vain if Jesus doesn't shine through as a distinct and powerful and beautiful person. That's my prayer for this year, that we would be so like Jesus that they would go, oh. They would see such a presence of Jesus, they say, I need to drink of that. I need more of that. And perhaps we've heard the words, no, perhaps they would be ready to hear. If we would allow Jesus to do that, if we would let Rehoboth and cause us to camp at the well of Rehoboth, that they would be ready to hear the words, if anyone thirsts, let him come. Wonderful about that scripture when Jesus says that, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. It's a universal, anyone. Is anyone here thirsty? Let him come. It's a universal invitation, but it's also conditional. There's no ethnic, there's no intellectual, there's no social qualifications required for drinking at the fountain of Jesus, at the well of Jesus. The invitation goes out to all. Everyone in this room today has a personal invitation to come to the well. I'm giving it to you. You can come to the well. Come and have a drink. There's only one condition. What's the condition? You have to be thirsty. You have to be thirsty. There's only one condition. Earnest desire for what Jesus has to give. And even the last chapter of the Bible reminds us of this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires to take the water of life without price My prayer is that all of us, the God, that the Spirit might make us thirsty for more of Jesus this year. That's what I'm hearing when Jerry gave that testimony this morning. That he might make us thirsty, that he might remove the calluses from our taste buds that have become dull. We can't taste. You ever get that? Sometimes when you've got a cold or you've got something, it's like, I can't taste anything. You know, sometimes that's how it is with Jesus. We get so calloused. We get so, our taste buds are so immune. They're so dull that we can't taste it anymore. And I'm saying, God, remove that from us, from the taste buds of our heart, and cause us to drink deep and savor the magnificence of who Jesus is again, afresh. Because if the Spirit will do this for us, we have it on the words of Jesus. What does he promise? Out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. Why do I want you to come and drink from the well of living water? Because out of your hearts then will flow rivers of living water. Out of your hearts. Saints, I want that. Not for me personally. I want it for me personally, sorry. But I want it for us. That everywhere we go, there would be rivers flowing out of us. And it doesn't matter who you're walking by, whether it's in the street, whether it's on the mountain, whether you're cross-country skiing, whether you're in the middle of a shopping mall, that there's something flowing out of us because we've drank. Because we've been thirsty, because we've tasted something new. And out of that, it says, out of your hearts will flow rivers of living water. Turn with me to John chapter 4 for a moment. Just on this theme of the water. It's a familiar story, the woman at the well. John chapter 4. But let's just begin at verse 12. You know the story, the Samaritan woman, she came and Jesus wants her to give him a drink. But look at the verse 12. First of all, she says, you've got nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then did you get that living water? And here's the question. She says, you are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him like a well of water springing up to eternal life. The woman at the well asked a question. Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well. Drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And is Jesus greater than Jacob? Well, Jesus gives us the answer. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I give will never be thirsty again. If we are drinking of the right from the right source, we will never be thirsty again. So if you're thirsty, the math says if you're thirsty, maybe it's because you haven't been drinking from the right well. Jesus answered her, yes, ma'am, I am superior to Jacob, actually. My gift is superior. My water is superior. And my well is superior than anything anyone else can offer you. And he said this too. And my sons and my daughters are superior also, because they will have eternal life. See, this water, this living water that was at the well of Rehoboth, this living water that's being offered to us. Listen to this. In verse 10, it's a gift of God in this passage. It's living water. If you drink it, you won't thirst again. It's always there to satisfy you. Whenever you are longing, whenever you are thirsty, you can drink of it. He says, whoever drinks of this water that I give him will never be thirsty again. This water becomes a well. It becomes a spring. And this water gives eternal life. And I just want to pause for a moment because I believe there might be someone here this morning that I need to say something personal to. You know, we've been talking about a well that you can drink from. And you can wait until tomorrow or next week or next month or even next year to taste and see and to believe and to receive Jesus Christ. But you may not have till next week. And you need to drink. You need to drink. So come to the water. You who have no money, come, buy, and drink. That's the promise in Isaiah 55. So Isaac, let's go back to our story for a moment. Isaac redug the first well in the land of the Philistines. They had previously filled it with earth, but the people quarreled about who owns it. And he called the well Ezek, which means contention. Now, I like doing this sometimes when I see words in the Bible. I go to a dictionary or something and I look up synonyms, etc., of words. But you know, this well that they were fighting over, it means altercation, argument, battle, combat, conflict, contest, controversy, difference, discord, dispute, dissension, dissent, disunity, enmity, fight, hassle, hostility, quarrel, rivalry, squabble, static, strife, struggle, and war. Who wants to drink from that well? But how often, saints, is that where we camp out? We are constantly in contention and conflict and argument. Maybe that's what's happening around our lives. Maybe even in our own families. And there's this tension all the time. It's because we're drinking out of the wrong well. We're camped around a well that isn't ours. So Isaac begins and he redigs another well, which they had filled with stones. And they argued about who owned this one too. So he calls this one Sitna, which means enmity. So I went to the dictionary. Deep-seated, often mutual hatred. That's what enmity means. Hostility, antagonism, animosity, bad blood, bitterness. Bitterness, grudge, hostility. I have an interesting question when I read this. If this water was so good and they wanted to argue about it, why didn't they redig it? Just a question. I don't know. And yet when they saw what was in it, they had to have it. Jesus, make it that way in our lives. That when others see what we have in us and flowing out of us, that they too will be compelled to have it, to want it, and to do whatever is necessary to get it as their own. But Isaac moved from there. He dug another well in a separate place, and he filled it, and it was filled with fresh water. He called it Rehoboth. It was the well that God had provided. And here's the challenge. Thank you, Dave, for this. If my soul and its desires live with the Philistines, then the well of my soul will be filled with earth and stones of this world, and it will be plugged up. Don't continue to try and drink there. Hostility, argument, grudge too. Contention, fighting, arguing. Saints, we need to get past that well because there's another well that God has for us. But if our soul and its desires live in Rehoboth, then it will live at the well of the supply of God's fresh water. There's a popular song right now on the Christian charts that one of the chorus goes like this: come to the water, come to the water of life, it will never run dry. Come to the water, run to the water of life, it will never run dry. We sing a chorus here: all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out to deep. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. But let us just take a moment and move to our second name. What's the second name? Ebenezer. Ebenezer. You know, in the kingdom of God, dependence is valued and rewarded. In the world, it says, be independent. But in the kingdom of God, it's the upside down kingdom again. In the kingdom of God, dependence is valued and rewarded. I can't, but he can. I can't, but he can. Reveals a totally different way of thinking and acting. See, after asking in this passage, and we're almost done here, in receiving God's supernatural help in the battle with the Philistines, Samuel sets up a memorial stone. He called it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. And every time, as I said, the people passed that place and they saw the stone, they were reminded our help comes from above. Our help comes from above. And perhaps as we enter this new year, we need to be reminded of the fact that our help comes from above. See, in this story, the Philistines again were the problem. The old Philistines. And it's interesting. I love the internet for some things. But the Hebrew root of the name Philistine means to divide, cover, and invade. Throughout history, there was an enmity between the Philistines and the people of God. And they always wanted to seem to want everything that God's people had. But go back to Ebenezer. Think back to the times when you know, just take a moment, think back to the times when you know that you have received supernatural resources. When at just the right time, help came in its many different forms. See, God's great desire for you and for me this year is to cultivate a dependence on him and his ability to help. He never controls or forces his way into situation where he's not wanted and where his help is not wanted. But the Holy Spirit was given to us as a helper. And when we see that in John chapter 14, we understand that God always wants to help. He sent a helper. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. It's a stone of help. And I was just reading over these past, particularly over the Christmas time, all the talk, and we heard it again this morning, about self. Self. Self-pity, self-doubt, self-defeat, self-righteousness, self-effort, selfishness. All the self-help thing. They were doing a whole story about the emergence of the self-help society or culture. You know, we need to get over ourselves. Because it isn't about us. It's not about you. We sing the song. We get the words wrong sometimes. It's all about me. Self. And all this is for me. For my glory and my fame. It's all about you, Jesus. And all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. Saints, this year, may we make a determination. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 doesn't talk about being strong in yourself. It says be strong in who? The Lord. Lean on him. I found this. John Weens gave me a book this week, and I really appreciate it. But I found this in this book. I want you today, if you can see for this year, that you realize your strength in the Master and your union with him, and that well and drinking from that well gives you a limitless resource. We are dangerous when we realize what we have. No, I'm serious. And as Jerry was saying, we live so far below what God says we are. And who he says we are. Ephesians chapter 1 in this translation goes this: I pray you will understand beyond all comparison the magnitude of his mighty power towards us who believe. It is the same dynamic energy that he unleashed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and forever established him in power at his own right hand in the realm of the heavens. Infinitely above the combined forces of rule. I love that, combined forces. Not just one force of rule, the combined forces of rule, authority, dominion, or governments. He is ranked superior to any name that could ever be given to anyone of this age or any age to come in the eternal future. And he says, I want you to see this. I want you to see this. He subjected all these powers under his feet. He towers head and shoulders above everything. He is the head and the church, his redeemed image, likeness in man is his body. I think of it. Who's the head? He's the one that is all power. There's no thing that can even describe. He's the head, and we are the body in his likeness. The completeness of his being that fills all in all resides in us. Now, you didn't get that yet. You didn't get it yet. The completeness of his being that fills all in all resides in us. Hallelujah. Now, you still don't get it. There should be more hallelujah. Look at the person beside you. The completeness of his being that fills all in all resides in the person beside you and in you. Amen. You are dangerous. And it concludes in this scripture, it says, God cannot make himself more visible or exhibit himself more accurately than through you. Let us live like Jesus did, fully dependent on the well, fully dependent on his Father. He didn't live independently. He didn't think independently. He didn't act independently. He spoke what his Father wanted him to say. He did what his Father wanted him to do. He received from his Father all that he needed every day of his life. I want you to understand, because we're starting a new series next week. Jesus. That's our series. Jesus. Jesus. And learning to live like Jesus lived. So saints, there's a one of the hymns that I was looking at this week. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. But the second verse, you know, the Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The second verse, sorrowing I shall be in spirit, till released from flesh and sin. Yet from what do I inherit? Hear thy praises, I'll begin. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure. safely to arrive at home. Saint, let us set up an Ebenezer here today. Let us declare that thus far the Lord has helped us. Let us also determine to drink from the well of living water. Not something that somebody else has stopped up and who somebody else is constantly contending over, but drink at the well of living water. And let us be willing. See, this was, listen to the spirit of Isaac. He was willing to redig some of those ancient wells that still flowed with life-giving water. This year, this time, we are always wanting the newest thing, the newest gadget, the newest model. I know nobody does this, but it's almost like, well, let me trade in the wife of 60 years for two 30-year-olds. It's easier, you know? No, I'm not even thinking about that. Don't worry. But you know, we always want something new. We want the newest thing. Saints, there are ancient wells that we need to redig because they've still got flow of living water. So I want to leave you with some questions and close. Bob, did we get that thing? Good. Okay. Three questions I want you to look at. Number one, are you camped out at the well of contention or the well of enmity and trying to drink from them when you need to set up camp at Rehoboth? That's your first question to consider this week. Second question, can you identify times over this past year where you can declare, thus far the Lord has helped us? And saints, set up an Ebenezer stone. You know, I want to challenge some of you, just find a big stone and write Ebenezer on it and put 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Put it at the doorstep of your house. I tell you, it'll release something. And the third question, as you enter this new year, in what areas do you need to cultivate a new dependence on the Lord and his ability to help? Those are three questions to consider this week. I want to close with this video. And I ask you just to stay seated as you watch this, but I believe it's part of our invitation today. The well, living water, Ebenezer. Let's just play this and we'll just close in prayer.
I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well.
Yes, Jesus.
You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow.
Amen.
Like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me.
Hallelujah.
Cause you come to the well.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try.
Stand together, could we? Lord, we stand before you today. Lord, if you can pray that just in some way, say amen, that, Lord, we've drunk of many wells, but we need to drink of the well of living water daily, every hour, every minute, every second. Lord, because our desire is that that flowing water would be released out of our lives. Not only for us, it isn't about us. It's about you and what you want to do. And Lord, I just pray that forever, for anyone here who is thirsty this morning, Lord, that you would draw them, that you would encounter them at the well, and you would fill them. Lord, may this be a year, a broad place of expansion, of growth, of fruitfulness. Let it be a Rehoboth to us. And Lord, let it be a year that we can declare at the end of this year, the Lord has been our stone of help. And whatever he has done in us is because we have leaned on him. Lord, teach us to live the way Jesus lived, dependent, wholly dependent on you. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you fill us again? Allow us, make us thirsty, Lord. Let us say, Lord, we won't be satisfied until we drink of the water that satisfies. And we do it and we want it, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom, for the lost, and for your name to be made famous. We ask that in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and may he cause you to drink and 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 drink. Amen. You're dismissed.